And now we come to the gospel. And I think in our Lord's words here, we will see how correct it was to use Koheleth as the first reading. Somebody from the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." Jesus said, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" This is the Son of God. He could be judge and arbitrator of anything he wanted. What's he trying to say? You're trying to get me. I'm a respected man in the community, and you want to use my status to get your money from your brother. I won't play that game. First place, all your shenanigans are not worth it. You're talking about money, 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 money. You're going to die. What about being rich after you die? You see? So Jesus answers him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Interesting answer, isn't it? Here's the Lord of all saying, "But I've never been appointed to this position, and I'm not your judge and arbitrator." Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." That's very interesting. It's an interesting translation, too. See, watch and keep yourselves from pleonexia. We translated greed. The word pleonexia comes from two Greek words meaning always wanting to have more. No matter how much I got, I want more. I got to be safe with more. I got to be, you see, pleonexia. That's the word for greed. The drive to always have more. Can you imagine somebody's got $30 million and they're worried about making more money? And the poor don't have that concern. They're never going to make $30 million, and they know it. But they do have sometimes much greater peace because they're happy with what they got, and if they're baptized and living it, they trust God. You see? And so here he's saying, guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. That's a pretty, what can I say, not a very good translation, I don't think. See, it doesn't present par konton afto. His life is not from his possession, the possessions that are his, sort of. So then he told this parable. You see, there was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He said to himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself," you hear it, "I, myself," nothing else. What about saying, "Wow, I can give some of this to the poor"? Not a word. "Now, as for you," I can say to myself, "as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for the one who stores up treasure for himself, but is not rich in what matters to God." It's a powerful lesson. It's the lesson that our Pope Francis is trying hard to make sure the Church really gets. The poor get it already, but the rich don't, whether they be ecclesiastics or lay people. You know? Money, money, money. The more I got, the more I need. Oh, I might lose a million. Then what will I do? Well, if you have 40 million, well, you lost one. That's not so bad. Nervous, nervous, nervous about losing, losing, losing. Well, it is true, if I have nothing, I'm not going to be disturbed about losing. I have nothing to lose. But there can be, and this is what our Lord is implying here. See, make friends with those who need your help. Use your money to bind yourself in love to those who don't have anything. This has always been one of the heart messages of the Son of God to us. If I'm clinging to all my money, if I'm worried about my money, if I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones, I'm going to take my investments and put them over here where they'll be safer and yield more money, and that's all I'm thinking about, what about God? What about my family? What about the poor? All I want to do with my money is pad my security. That's wrong. That's really wrong. You see? And so, you see, you're going to die tonight, and so, thus will it be for the one who stores up treasure for himself, but is not rich in what matters to God. Very interesting, don't you think? Wouldn't you rather be rich in what matters to God? Even in this life, you'll have peace. And when you're dying, you know, the Lord is there saying, come, good and faithful servant, you did your best with your life and with your possessions. Now come and be with me. This life, 70 years, 80 years, whatever, it's over. Eternity is eternal. And so, don't grasp so much at your money. And if you got such, you know, it's not worth it. Well, have enough to eat, support your family, stuff like that, help your children through college. That's enough. You keep storing up, storing up, storing up. For what? So that I'll be safe. You know, I'm a priest now, 70-something years, I forgot exactly how many. It's amazing when I've worked and lived with very poor people. They have concerns, but they're not eaten up with them for the most part. And yet, very many who are very rich are always eaten up with worry about money. That's a big mistake. And that's why, you see, this text is saying, someone in the crowd said, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. He replied, friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator? I should get involved in this fight over your money? No. Why don't you pray and ask my father what he wants you to do with this money? You know what he's going to tell you. Split it with your brother. So then he told him this parable about the rich man who got this big harvest. What shall I do? I got to get more place to store it. Never a word about this abundant harvest. This will last me. Why don't I give the rest of it away? There are poor and hungry people. And they're all within reach of us, no matter where we live. If we live in the most expensive neighborhood in the world, I don't know where that would be, it's just a drive of 10 or 15 minutes, and you're in dire poverty. How do you help? What do you do? You see? And this is why, can you see why Koheleth is the reading? Vanity of vanities, and all is vanity. You see? Why? Because you're chasing after a bubble. You see? Here is one who has labored with wisdom and knowledge and skill, and yet to another who has not labored already must leave property. This is vanity and a great misfortune. For what profit comes to man from all the toil and anxiety of heart with which he has labored under the sun? All his days, sorrow and grief are his occupation. Even his night, his mind is not at rest. This is vanity. How do you solve that vanity? You share your wealth. You care for others. Now, it doesn't mean you have to, you know, line up 100 people and each of you get 1/100 of it. It means you administer that in obedience to Jesus Christ. I've been privileged in my life to know some very, very wealthy people. And they do a beautiful job with this, most of them. The ones I'm thinking of now, they're real people who live by faith. They know they have a responsibility to administer this well, take care of it well. I'm thinking of one family that had 12 children. So what they were going to do with part of their money was pretty clear. I mean, they had 12 children. But that family was so generous because they saw Christ in the poor. And didn't think, well, I got to sell everything and, you know, live in a sack. And no, but I have to take godly a care for my money. It has to be a godly care. And a godly care means helping the poor. This is why Pope Francis is always on this theme. Because it seems as though many of us Christians and even Catholics have forgotten this. And if we live in a part of the world where things are pretty prosperous, we forget all about it. Or we give a dollar in the collection when there's a second collection for the poor. We give a dollar. What about depriving yourself? And I know people who do this. I know families who teach their children this. You're going to get an allowance of $10 a month or something. Now, you give some of it to the poor. You figure out, well, how much, but you give some to the poor. And those children learn from an early age, I'm going to give away $5, $7 and help the poor. And it gets ingrained in them because that's a godly act. That's Christ acting in them. And they will keep that their life to teach them that. And some families bring their children, you know, when they go to serve the poor, they bring the children with them so that the children can be friends and help them. And of course, that's exactly what our Lord told us, right? In Matthew 25, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in jail and you came to visit me. I was in the hospital sick and you came. He said, I never saw you. You did and didn't know it. Whatever you did to the least of my brothers and sisters, you did to me. You did to me. And so, this gospel, you see, that's why when I tried to find a theme, how to describe it, I thought the theme ought to be trust in God. Trust God and see what happens. I know it's happened to me in life sometimes. I've given away more than I thought I should, and bingo, next day in the mail, half of what I gave away is back. That's the Lord just winking at me. He's not going to do that all the time. Otherwise, I'd always be looking for a new investment. You know, I'll do it and God will invest. But enough times so that I can say, the Lord will take care of me. I have got to care. Or what John says, you know, a brother sees a brother and he's doesn't have any clothes to wear and he has no food and you say, be well fed and clothed and do nothing. How is the love of God in that person? That's what John asks in that first letter, 3:16. Brethren, let us not love with word and talk, but in deed and in action. Amen.